Welcome to the weekly podcast from Christ Community Church. If you would like more information about this podcast or Christ Community Church, please visit our webpage at www.gochristcommunity.com. Blessings and enjoy the sermon.
And so, amen. Yeah, give God glory. And so, if you don't have that kind of relationship with the Holy Spirit in your own life, you can carry a lot of things you don't need to carry, right? And have a lot of burdens you don't need to have. So it was also during this time that I wrote some notes. As the Spirit speaks to us and shows us things, sometimes it's just something to write down and say, oh, okay, well, I'm aware of such and such with this family, and so I'm just going to pray for them and see what the Lord wants to do, and maybe one day I'll have an opportunity to share it with them. But you've got to understand, as you walk with the Lord, everything that the Holy Spirit shows you doesn't mean immediately you're supposed to go blurt it out, right? Right? Okay. So this is something I wrote down over a month ago. And this weekend, as the Lord was having me share about being versus doing and feeling only, I felt led to share it with you. So, I'll read it now. The Lord asks, why do you hide? Why do you hide the image of God and who you really are in Christ? Why are you afraid? Why are you afraid to be who I've made you to be and offer my life to others who are dead in their sins? My perfect love casts out all fear. So allow more and more of my love into your hearts, into your souls, into your minds. Don't you know you are holy ground because you are mine and I live in you? Be who you really are in Christ. Be who you are by walking with my Spirit. Don't contaminate my holy ground by your thoughts. Don't contaminate my holy ground by your words. Don't contaminate my holy ground by your actions. Amen? So, like I said, the Lord can speak some things to you, and you're like, when is the timing? Well, it just so happens what the Lord has me share this morning goes right along with a piece of the word here, where he says, so allow more and more of my love into your hearts, into your souls, and into your minds. I want to share a little bit today about what I call BID. And that's not a bid on a house, but it's believer identity disorder, okay? The prescription for believer identity disorder is being, doing, and feeling. Now, why do I have being, doing, and feeling together in this order? It's because we live in a society, in a world right now that puts the emphasis on feeling and doing, then being. But really, without Christ, folks never get really to who they are in their being at all. They're caught in a cycle of feeling and doing, feeling and doing, feeling and doing, that never, ever satisfies. This causes them to live lives opposite of kingdom values or mission and waste their lives on shallow, meaningless banter. The world we live in is confused, and the world's confusion tries to seep into our heart, soul, and mind to keep us from discovering real purpose and a deep sense of mission. So we must fight the battle to prioritize the order of being, doing, and feeling so we can live out our calling as sons and daughters of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and be who He wants us to be in the earth. And it comes by understanding the divine order to be, then to do, then to feel. As we discover our being, we simultaneously focus on doing before we focus on feelings. Feelings are valid. Feelings can be markers of where we are in our maturity, but they can also be a distraction from reality. So if you look at this definition with me, emotion, feeling, passion, those can all be synonyms in some way. But emotion is a feeling, a sentiment, a natural instinctive state of mind deriving from one's circumstances, mood, or relationships with others. Now, think about this for a minute. If you're in a situation where your circumstances are good, your mood's good, your emotions or feelings might be good. Now, when you get to relationship with others, obviously that can affect our mood, can't it? Even as Christians, have you ever gone home to family reunions? Anybody that ever happened? And no, you've learned just to stay away from them, right? No. Can be a beautiful time, okay? But at the same time, there's sometimes you get with some family members and they just create such a tension, such an atmosphere that it's like, okay, I think I'm going to go back over to where they're throwing horseshoes or whatever, right? Okay? And so it's important that we understand the power we have in a relationship to make a difference in someone's life. You know, AA sometimes understands this quicker than the body of Christ. Because they tell you, as you're dealing with your hurts, hang-ups, and habits, that you cannot do it alone. You need a partner. You need a group. You need people to help you get through this. And yet that same revelation that set so many people free from addictions, we don't even practice in the body of Christ. We think, oh, I got my Bible, I got my Jesus, I got my praise, you know, music in my ears, I'm good to go. I don't need anybody else. Folks, that's exactly what the enemy would want you to believe. Amen. That is a lie. And part of being the body of Christ means that we live life together. We come for corporate worship. We're part of a worship team, or we're part of a ladies' Bible study, or we're part of a home cell group, or whatever it might be. So we have that relationship with others. Now, have you ever noticed, the reason I say emotions are important, we don't discount them, but have you ever noticed the times in your life where you know in the deepest part of you that something's good for you, and you know you should do it, but you don't really feel like it, okay? So let's say it's like going to a nighttime study. It's snowing like crazy. You're already home. You don't want to drive and come and be a part of this thing, right? You don't really feel like it. But because of who you are in your being, you make a mental decision to still do the right thing and get yourself to that study or whatever it is. And then what happens after? You get there, you loosen up a little bit, people pray for you, you have a good study, and you're like, thank God I came to this. I'm glad I didn't listen to my flesh. And after you do that a few times, you train yourself. You just know automatically, okay, my flesh may, you know, what's the nice way to say it? Gripe and bellyache, right, about it. But I'm going to do what I need to do. So there are times that the emotions can't be. Another example I'll give you, that feelings are valid, but you can't always rely on them. There was a time where I thought I lost my wallet, and I was in my pickup truck. And I thought for sure it was gone. Little did I know, it was actually deep down in a crack, and it was right by me. I mean, if it was a snake, it would have bit me, right? It was right there. But I went through all the emotions and feelings and sentiments and circumstance moods and all this stuff of, oh my gosh, this is so frustrating. I feel violated. I feel robbed, you know. I've got to get credit cards canceled. I've got to get a new driver's license. How much cash was in there? I don't even know. And what am I going to do now? Debit and this and that. And I really like that wallet, too, that my wife got me, you know. Going through all this stuff, all these feelings, all these emotions. And I could have acted on that. I might have called USAA. Hey, you know, I lost my wallet. I need you to cancel all my cards. That would have been great, right? And then find it. So before I did all that, I just thought, how did I lose my wallet? Well, long story short, like I told you, it was right there in the truck. As soon as I pulled it back out, all those feelings and emotions and things went a different direction, right? But we live in a society right now that mostly goes by what they feel, and what they feel enacts what they do, even when it doesn't make sense. In recent elections, in the last four or five, well, now really almost a couple of decades, I met people that adamantly did not believe in what the president stood for. But because of the color of his skin, or because of the gender, male, female, they voted for people that really and truly, mentally, they knew were liars, corrupt, bankrupt, socialists, whatever they want to, you know what to say, and yet they'd still vote for them. Folks, that doesn't even make sense, right? We're not to live the way the world lives. In an article that I was reading this week, there were five things that lead Christians astray, and I've just pulled out this one. And this one was misplaced affections. It was apropos for the message. 1 John 2:15 says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." Then this author, this is what he says. He goes on to say, "Be careful not to set your heart on things that really don't matter. Cannot tell you how many times I've been with good people and seen them lured away from the body of Christ because they have fallen in love with things or activities that have no real eternal merit. For example, children's sports can certainly be a thrilling activity for your kids to pursue. But if those sports begin to adversely affect the spiritual involvement and development of your family, then pull the plug immediately." I would say reevaluate. That's him saying that. I don't know if I'd pull the plug immediately, right? You reevaluate and see how you can make it work. But you get the point. Don't be moved just by affections. Make sure we're moved by what Mark 12:30 tells us. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Folks, I don't think it's a coincidence the order that we see this verse written in. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, all the things that are within you before you ever love him with your strength, meaning what you do. And you've got to get this order correct for several reasons. To be still and to be is the starting point. We who are inside, because it affects what we do, who we are inside, is important because it affects what we do. So it is vitally important that we guard the heart above all else. Proverbs 4:23. For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good man brings good things out of the things stored up in his heart, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So how do we focus on being, if you will, part of who we are? Well, literature will tell you, even in secular studies, that they realize this being versus doing is important, and that it's different parts of the brain that operate. And we tend to, as Americans, use the part of the brain that always makes a list, a to-do list, check the list. We tend to do so much that pretty soon we're dehydrated. That's a dumb joke. All right. We've got to understand what it means to stop and slow down, okay, and reflect on things and allow God to love us and let his waves of love pour over our heart, mind, and soul before we move into the strength and doing things for the Lord. There was a book I got for a person in my life that it's called Taking Your Life Back. And I never like to give a book to someone before I read it. And so I'm reading it. And now it's so good, I may never get to the person that I got it for. I'll have to buy them another copy because I've marked this one all up. But it's so good. It's talking about taking your life back. And one of the things it talks extensively about is why we do what we do. And it makes it very clear that if we don't start with our being whole in Christ, then when we act to go do something, we can be doing it for the wrong reasons. What's the wrong reason? Well, if I've got more of a type personality, or I've been in a dependent, codependent type relationship or whatever, you can actually have someone serve the Lord and do all kinds of things and whatnot, but if they're always doing it trying to make you happy as their group leader or me happy as the pastor, there's going to come a point where it's going to break. It's going to break because at some point they're going to wake up one day and realize, I have no joy in this at all. I am tired of trying to please pastor and his wife, or I mean, that wouldn't be us, I don't think. It could be. But whoever it is, the point is, they're doing what they're doing to get credit, to get recognition, to feel good about themselves. So when I don't give them enough pats on the back, or I don't do everything the way they think I ought to do it, or recognize them enough, then it breaks down. And you see a lot of that in churches, and that's not what we want at Christ Community. Amen? We want you to be healthy and whole and doing things for the right reasons. With what? Joy. We want you to be in discipleship because you understand the importance. We want you to be a servant leader because Jesus was. We want you to be generous because you realize how generous God was to give his own son for us, and for that son to give up his entire life. And out of that revelation and knowing that in your being, then you want to do the right thing. Amen? So let's look at these four things that help us focus on the being part. It's almost kind of hard to even teach on this because in some ways, trying to teach you in being, I'm doing something to try to teach you being, you know. So part of this is taught, but part of this is caught at the same time. First, we worship God's holiness. When you take time to come before God, okay, with your total being, before we get to the strength part, we have to come and realize that we surrender to a holy God, and he's the one that does what he does. Yes, through us, but we surrender to his holiness and power, right? Then he works through us. Worship, singing, adoring, magnifying, celebrating who God is and who has made us to be in his image. Ephesians 5:19 says, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves and making music to the Lord in your hearts. True worship blesses yourself and others. Amen? And it's so important. I was saying at first service, I don't know if this is harder for guys or not. It seems like, since it's a different part of the brain, maybe girls can turn that part of the brain on easier. I don't know for that for sure. But I'm telling you guys, you got to take this time where you just get away and can reflect. And here are some ways to do it. So worship. Number two, reflection. Reading, searching, allowing the deep to call to the deep inside our souls to bring forth pure gold and dispose of all the things that contaminate the pureness of who we are in him before we lift a finger to do anything for him. I think this is really important to be able to reflect on God's Word. It's one thing that, you know, I encourage you all to have your Bible reading plan, you version of the Bible, whatever. You know, and there are times you're busy, and I've seen people do it. You know, you're getting ready for school, or, you know, you're getting ready. Ladies, you're probably doing your hair, and you're playing your Bible out loud, and you're listening. You know, that's fine. But there's got to be a time where you just sit down, and you listen to the richness of God's Word, and you let a part of that passage grab your heart, and you stop, and you just meditate on that, and just be like, wow, Lord, I'm not even sure I understand on the right side of my brain what this is saying, but the left side of my brain and my heart is really digging this scripture right here. Let me give you an example of David and his deep reflection in worship. You can hear in Psalm 42, he's struggling, but at the same time, he knows in his struggles not to trust his soul or his feelings, but to turn his heart back to God. So he's kind of doing some self-counseling here. But listen to the depth of what he says. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. Have you guys ever been in that point? Is your soul panting for God? I mean, are you hungry for God? My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul. How I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. My soul is downcast within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep. In the roar of your waterfalls, all your waves and breakers have swept over me. See, that's the part in my right brain. I'm like, deep calls of deep. What is he saying? That's where you got to flip that off and get on the other side and get into your soul and heart and say, deep calls to deep. God, I want to understand that. Reveal to me what this means. You know, call to me in the depths of my soul, in the dark places that no one else can go but the Holy Spirit. Amen. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? We've all felt like that at times, haven't we? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony, and my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. Amen. So we worship, we reflect on what David goes through at that time and how he still reflects back to God. And then we love God with all our mind, okay, or our thinking. Thinking is when we allow His thoughts about who He is and who He's made us to be wash away and replace the thoughts we have about ourselves that the flesh tells us. Sometimes it's our own flesh. You're not good enough. You're not pretty enough. You don't have enough hair. You're not tall enough. I've had all those, except for the pretty enough one. That's never bothered me much. You know, or your parents tell you, you know, I never wanted twins. I never wanted two kids. I just wanted one. Or I can't believe we got pregnant. You were in an accident. You know, when you hear this stuff, you think, oh, accident. What? Until you're mature enough to understand what that meant, it can bother you. You know what I mean? You're still an accident. How was that? So all these things come from the flesh. Our flesh and other people's flesh that try to make us and identify our being of who we are. And we've got to be able to say, get behind me, Satan. This is what the Word of God says that I am. And we've got to think and allow those thoughts to be covered and pushed out or washed away by God's thoughts about us. Amen? That's why I preach my guts out so much about you must open your Bibles and read and meditate in God's Word or you'll always be a weak, insufficient, not effective person in the body of Christ. Is that a nice way to say it? My wife says I can't make fun of weak people that don't read their Bibles, especially from the pulpit, right? No, my heart, folks, is in it is that I want you to be who God made you to be in every way. You don't got to suffer all the way through this life with some of the things you suffer with. Sure, we identify with Christ and the suffering servant. We're all going to suffer. I'm not saying on this life all suffering will be gone. That's silly. But I tell you what, we deal with a lot more than we need to. Why? Because I've seen people and families that don't have to deal with that. And so that gives me hope that we can all be there too. Amen? Oh, okay, Father. Just stick back to the sermon today. Praise the Lord. All right. So the third grade teacher who told me I was retarded. I mean, some of you may agree with that, but she called my parents in for a parent-teacher conference. Yeah, we think he must be retarded or dyslexic. He spells cat, K-A-T. I mean, he just, you know, the very basic things. And so my dad said, Christopher, are you studying your spelling list? And I said, well, no, Dad. Why would I study these words? That waste time I could be fishing with Grandpa. I mean, I had no clue, right? That actually at the end of this year you had to pass to get to the next grade. So I still use spell check today because in those formative years I went fishing more than I studied. Then we had the sixth grade teacher conference. And the parents said, well, your kid's a little hellion, basically. He's disruptive, this and that. She says, really, the only positive thing I can think to say about your son is somebody's got to be a garbage man. Yeah. Yeah. Mrs. Faulkner. Oh, 400 pounds of Miss Faulkner. I once put a toothpick in her chair, and she sat on it and didn't even flinch. I knew then I need a new strategy. But anyway, I didn't know Jesus then either. I'm just telling you, you kids don't go doing that stuff. All right. So the point is, I realize it's kind of funny in a way how you can reframe things, because Mrs. Faulkner was right. I am a garbage man. You know why? Because you guys come with all your garbage, amen, and I do my best to love you and to take care of you, sometimes instruct and rebuke and correct you so that you can be recycled into the glory of God, amen, and into sanctification and shine and take your trash away. So really, Miss Faulkner, you were more right than you thought. If she was alive today, I'd go back and tell her, you know, you were a prophetess. All right, we must allow God's thoughts about us to displace the thoughts of who the enemy wants us to be, devoid of God. So as we looked at these three, I want to just do a thing where we've mentioned here that we worship God's holiness, reflect on God's word, we think and meditate on God's character of who he is, because his character says something about who we are in Christ, right? Because who are we made in the image of? That was a great chance for you guys to shout God. Who are we made in the image of?
God.
Amen. So for all of you, especially as us guys, I want to just play a music video that I think is very much about being. And listen to the words that may confuse you a little bit and just kind of let your right side of your brain go. And just allow yourself to practice these first three points, and then I'll come back for point number four. Might even help just to close your eyes and just have a little alone time with the Lord. So ask yourself in your own spiritual life, what does that even mean to you? To be beautifully in over your head in your relationship with God. In the right side and to-do checklist side, it might not make much sense. But in your heart of hearts, it'll begin to resonate. And that's what it is to build being in your life. Number four, as you guys begin to set up, I'll cover this one down here so you can set up for our special closing song. Number four, the fourth step before doing, okay, is ask the Holy Spirit to help you. Now, let me just explain what I mean by this. If you're never in a situation where you don't know what to do, you're not challenging yourself as a Christian. It may be even at a job. I had a chaplain call me the other day for all, there are a lot of visitors today. 11 years active duty chaplain in the United States Air Force, and now I'm still reserve chaplain. So I was talking to headquarters the other day, and a guy that got a new job, and Chaplain Bodich, he said, you know, this job at headquarters is really demanding. He says, it's really put me in a place where I'm really relying on God. He says, I can't do it from what I've learned before and everything I've always known. I mean, I'm praying and having to really depend on God for this. And he says, and it's a great place to be. Because anytime we get to where we can do what we do with or in God on our own, then we begin to lose the power and it becomes just rhetoric or a good living. Does that make sense? The difference between Christianity and every other religion is that Jesus rose from the dead and he sent us his Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the one that walks with us, so we can't put God in a box like the song was saying. We can't say, well, every time I pray this prayer, this person gets healed. God says, no, okay, keep doing that. Pretty soon you're going to pray that exact prayer and they're not going to get healed. You get what I'm saying? We cannot put God in a box. We have to depend on a person, and that person is the Holy Spirit. That's why I made number four, the last one. Before we do, we have to ask the Holy Spirit for help. Now, this can be as simple as this Saturday I had a memorial at a house. I'd never met the people. When I got the call originally, I thought it was just talk to a family that one of their members had committed suicide and just for counseling. Well, then, thank God I checked on it more because, no, it was coming. Family were coming from all over the United States, and I was actually doing a short memorial service and offering a prayer. So, thank God that I called to go walk in there. Okay, who needs counseling? Oh, no, you're going to give us a few words in a prayer. I mean, I know the Holy Ghost really would have shown up then, but thank the Lord I was able to prepare a little bit, right? But as I go into this, I realize some of these people are believers, some aren't. Catholic, Protestant, probably Antichrist, all mixed together. So even as I'm prepping, I just say, Holy Spirit, help me. Help me to construct these words in this prayer in a way that I still am true to who you've made me to be in Christ. But that it's so I can connect and build a bridge to these people and not a wall. Does that make sense? And so, thank you. So as I did that, I went in and then, of course, I shared some words. And one of the things that I mention almost always in death is that it's okay to grieve. You're not a stronger man or a bolder woman if you don't. And oh my gosh, the floodgates started. I almost couldn't finish. Everyone just started bawling, which is great. You need to do that, right? The situation was suicide. And so that's always trickier. And so I just assured them that the family that, you know, God knows when someone's at a painful place and that, you know, there's nothing in Scripture that says that if you kill yourself, you go to hell. That's just not in the Bible, if you didn't know that, if you believe that. You keep believing it, it'll keep you not to kill yourself, but other than that, you shouldn't believe it. So that's a situation. Another situation is when I was active duty, and we were told to meet every plane with battle injuries that came into Ramstein. And I remember the largest one was 62 battle injuries. And you've got battle injury people, you've got the CCAT teams, you've got people swollen beyond recognition, people missing limbs, all this. And my charge was, go be a visible reminder of the Holy. I'm like, what does that even mean, right? Go be a visible reminder of the Holy and walk on this plane and minister to these people as the chaplain. So if you don't think that's a time where you're like, Holy Spirit, I do not have a freaking clue what to do here, what where to even start. You've got to help me. And then as you walk into that situation, he does. He helps you. And when you're done, you realize, oh my gosh, Lord, you just did some amazing things. We had a death notification once. And usually the commanders talk to the chaplain because they don't do as many as the chaplains do because there's a lot fewer chaplains. So the commander says, hey, have you done this before? I'm like, unfortunately, I have, sir. And I said, the biggest thing is just make the point right up front, you know, what's happened. So we find this lady at lunch on the base, And we go in and we say, Mariah, I'm sorry to inform you that your infant was found dead by security forces at your apartment. And then Mariah says, well, which one? The commander says, your infant. She says, I have twins. And so the entire ride to the house, the commander, first sergeant, me, the girl, and a medical person. We always have a medical person on a notification team. All the whole way there, we don't know which baby's dead. And we're driving to the house. Not only that, but when we get there, the jurisdiction, it was on Ramstein base, but the Germans owned the land. So German detectives were there and investigating whether this was a homicide, whether the dad maybe had killed the baby. So it's taped off with tape, and they've already put chalk around the baby's body on the floor. And so I walk in as the chaplain with this lady, can't go past the tape, wants to grab her dead infant, can't. They happen to be Catholic. They want to bless the baby. The detectives are saying, no, you can't mess up our crime scene. Folks, that's a time where you're like, Holy Ghost, help me to know what to do here. And by God's grace, you somehow say the right words, do the right things. We did have a Catholic priest on staff. He got there. By the time he got there, we'd worked and talked enough that the detectives understood the situation, that it, you know, and it worked out for God's glory. But even in my mind now, thinking back, I'm like, how do you do that kind of stuff? The only way you do it is if you know who you are in the deepest part of your being. So you don't have to go make something happen or get into the fleshly argument of that. You just go in there with a peace, calm of, I know who I am in Christ. Now, Holy Spirit, do your thing. So obviously, those are some extreme examples. But what about your everyday life? What about when you leave this place today and you go by the Corey's and the cashier looks a little down in the mouth or something, you know? Are you secure enough in who you are in your being to say, Holy Spirit, is there anything I could say to this person? And maybe it's just, you know, I read this magazine that everybody's more beautiful when they smile and smile at her and see if that gives her a smile. You know, whatever. I don't know. You know, whatever the Lord might put on your heart. You say, man, just don't try in your own flesh to do something. Amen. Just ask the Holy Spirit. If he shows you something, just be obedient. It's really that simple. I know it doesn't sound like it, but it really is. So we're going to continue as we close. Let's stand to our feet together and just cry out to God. God, make me stronger in the depth of my heart, in my being, as we continue to practice being. Amen.
Dear gracious and heavenly Father, we pray that you would take this heart, my heart, the heart of every single person, Lord, in this room. And Lord, I pray that you give us the willingness, you give us the openness in our hearts to become your vessel for one sole purpose, and that's for the world to see your life in me.
Gathered, mended and whole, empty-handed, but not forsaken. I've been set free. I've been set free. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved. Our failure, you take our weakness. dance. You set your treasure in jars of clay. So take this heart, Lord, I'll be your vessel, the world to see your life in. Oh.
we get ready to leave this morning, remember the piece of the word that I read this morning, that my perfect love cast out all fear. So allow more and more of my love into your hearts, into your souls, and into your minds, so that then we'll be ready to be all that Christ has called us to be and able to go love by the power of the Spirit. Amen. Go love. Have a great week. Make sure and shake a visitor's hand or give him a handshake.